Praise you, the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what a joyful time in the Lord's presence. Joy in your presence. Free where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In the name of the Lord Jesus, enjoy the fellowship of one another as the Bible has commanded us. We have fellowship with you, Lord, and then we have fellowship with one another. Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory. Thank you, Father, for the great deliverance for our sister, that we hear the testimony thereof, Lord. And we know your hands are upon her, Lord, for good. Blessed be the name, O Lord. Thank you, Father. As we read the scripture right now, Lord, we trust you that will bless us, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. So we will go on this journey of the end time events. And we will be dwelling on the Antichrist system all these weeks long. You know, the Lord said something during the Gospels, which now expand on in the book of Revelation. He said, a time of tribulation shall be, as I come to pass, like no other time in the history of the world. And when it is over, there shall never be any time like that anymore. Then, of course, the comrade John aside and the other Patmos, he now expanded on those things. He just told the gospel, prayed that the category to escape these things. He mentioned them in Luke 21 and Matthew 24, but now he now expanded the book of Revelation, what this thing really means, that tribulation that he's talking about. He now expanded upon it in the book of Revelation, you know. That's why Satan has it. And the Bible says the book of Revelation that blessed are they that hear it and read the word of this prophecy and do them, for the time is at hand. And there are many things that this book does to us apart from those blessings. We know this tribulation, as far as we know from the scripture, is after the rapture, most of it, you know, actually the 70th week of Daniel, we believe the church will be gone by the middle of it. And the second half is the great tribulation proper. And we believe by many scriptures that the bride should be gone. But the Lord, in making us to know these things and just dwell upon them, I believe it helped our preparation to know, even though we believe when he said pray that we should escape this thing, but now he now expanded them to us in the book of Revelation, what this thing really means. I think then, when we think of this thing, then we know each time I think on this thing myself, here is no place to be, you know, after the rapture. Given what the Lord said in the book of Revelation, is no place to be. So that's why we're never getting bored about these things. So that's why we say it all the time. Much more so, we are living at that time now. All kind of confusion is coming everywhere about this subject and so on. That, you know, we endeavor by God's grace, you know, to just lay it down as we have been taught. Praise God. That which we have had, you know, that the Lord now, just say the same thing to a new generation. To refresh our own mind too, you know. That's why Brother Peter even said, though we know these things, amen. But I still say it in any way, you know, so that what we do here many of the time and so on, you know. So tonight we're going to go. Last time we were here on this subject, talk about the identification of the two witnesses, which we know 40 years ago anyway, but we go macroscopically to really bring it out. Who are they and so on. So that no confusion anywhere, you know. That's what we are doing really here, you know. So tonight, let's talk about their ministry, you know, the ministry of the two witnesses, you know. So, which you know what they are, but again, we're to zero in by God's grace. See, a little bit here, a little bit there, line upon line, you know, God put things together for us, more than we ever known before, you know. So now I say, I will identify the two witnesses of Revelation 11 as Moses and Elijah. We will turn our attention to the nature of their ministry. And Revelation 11:3 says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Why will God mention sackcloth? Why are they clothed in sackcloth? I mean, like the Bible says here, you know. Well, what is the reason for that? We know in our age, this age of the church, we do not wear sackcloth in this age of grace. Rather, we wear garments of praise and rejoicing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the church age. But when people come in their time, they are wearing sackcloth. What does that mean? It means there's a change in dispensation. That's why. Praise the Lord. The rapture is gone. And there's a change in dispensation. So that's why they are the way they are, you know. And of course, Israel will be in the midst of the 70th week of Daniel at that time. And moreover, of course, the garments of sackcloth will be quiet in keeping with Elijah, the way that he came the first time, right? Who we are told and described in 2 Kings 1:18, and they say, an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. Of course, Ahaziah, the one who came in power after Ahab died and so on, you know that. He fell down from a lattice from the loft of his house and so on. I will talk about him down the road as well. And he said, messengers will go and inquire of Beelzebub, the god of the Ekron, you know, whether he will recover, you know. Of course, God called Elijah, go and intercept those messengers, you know. Go tell him, is there no God in Israel? He said, now go and inquire of the god of Ekron. That day you climb, or you know, come down for me. He does say the Lord, you know. So those people, they went back. Ah, when they come back, Allah said, how do you come so quickly? Oh, we were on the way, and we met this man, and he just narrated to him what they had. Then, how does he look? Then that was what I just told you right now, a hairy man, you know, and the kind of, you know, wear a leather garment and so on. So this kind of sackcloth we wear well with him, you know, when they come again the second time, you know. So we see there, you know. So anyway, when the two witnesses appear on the scene, the Antichrist and the false prophet will have overthrown their cloak of amiability and will reveal themselves as tyrants more ruthless than Hitler. That's why we spend a lot of time on Hitler. They were forerunners of what will be at the end of time, and God allowed them to come in history like that, you know. They clearly mark themselves as blasphemers of God, you know. Are they dedicated to the stamping out of Christianity from the face of the earth? That will be having that kind of great tribulation. Can you see now why the Lord said, pray that you that can't take the body to escape these things? Now, they will do that. Jews and Christians alike will be slaughtered in such numbers as to overshadow Hitler's efforts to genocide of the Jews. You know, the same thing we do that. They came in, God allowed to come through in the history. To foreshadow what the Antichrist will do when he comes. The most terrifying feature from the standpoint of history will be that the Antichrist will have an unvarying success in the battlefield. The Bible says, who can make war with him? You know, who can make war with him? You know, nations which stand up against him will be overrun, and their leaders will be executed. We are trying to see by God's grace to the spirit of the law what will be happening, you know, when these tribulations arise, when they come on the scene, you know. And you know, so churches and religious enterprises will be systematically destroyed in a manner reminiscent of the days of the Bolshevik Revolution, when they sought to destroy the church in Russia. That is 1917, right? You know, actually, you know, so that's when that took place as well, you know. The eastern part of the church and so on, the Roman Empire and so on, that's in 1917. That's what they did, you know. That's why today don't have many churches in Russia anymore, back in 1917, you know. So anyway, so the Antichrist is a type of what the Antichrist will do. They are both defiance, meaning this will, they are both defiance of, you know, they are both defiance of God. The Antichrist and the false prophet will evoke a wave of fear among the populations, making them wonder whether the God of the Bible still lives, you know. Yes, that's how it will be. The way these people are going to talk, you know, I mean, you know, we do, people will be wondering, where is the God of the Bible? Can he defend himself against the blasphemies of these wicked rulers? You know, that's how it will be at that time, you know. And it is during this dark hour that the two witnesses will appear on the scene. They will stand on the streets of Jerusalem, clad in sackcloth, boldly defying the Antichrist and the false prophets. They will proclaim to the nation of Israel that judgment is at hand. They won't even spare Israel. They will warn them what's ahead of them. Moreover, they will declare that Jesus of Nazareth is none other than their Messiah, that the one whom Israel rejected is indeed the Lord of heaven and the earth. They will declare all these things, you know. They will urge the people to search the scriptures and accept him, meaning the Lord Jesus, as their personal Lord and Savior. They will preach the gospel message again, you know, to them, to the people. That's why today, They are safe here than one year we are. See? Now, they only listen to their own prophets, you know. That's why God sent Moses and Elijah to them, you know. So, yeah, they got saved. Yeah, they're getting saved now. But as a nation, they're safe as a nation at the end of time. And what we're doing, it will be their own prophet. They know Moses. They know Elijah, you know. So, anyway. So, the witnesses will not be enigmatic in their message. You know, the prophets say they will prophesy on clear grounds, right?
Yes.
Even in our time. Not enigmatically, right? Even in our church, before we leave here, praise God.
Amen.
God will make it more clearer and clearer and clearer, you know. So, so they will condemn in the standard terms the wickedness of even the nation of Israel. Israel. You know, there are so many wicked people in India today. You have gays in India too. All kind of adulteries in India. The Bible call it that. The Bible call it Sodom, actually. In the book of Revelation, call it Sodom. See? So they will point out that Israel broke the everlasting covenant and brought upon her the curse. And for that reason, they suffer the age-long dispersion the Lord told them in Luke 21, Matthew 24, you know. Now, nevertheless, the curse of the masses God extended to Abraham, he restored Israel back to her land, you know. So, yet, the people must repent, or they will suffer the retribution visited on their forefathers. Not only will they speak plainly, these two witnesses, but the two witnesses will have power to back up what they say. See? No, we give power unto my two witnesses. They will back up everything they say, like Elijah did when he came the first time. Now, they will speak as Elijah of old, who said to Ahab in 1 Kings 17:1, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. Talking about the ministry of the two witnesses, just really looking closely to what we're doing, you know. Before you know it, the skies will turn brass, and the people in fear will ponder the significance of these ominous words, meaning these words of doom that they are proclaiming and things like that, you know. Now, they will go further than that, these two witnesses. They will denounce in the strongest terms the false prophet and the Antichrist and their arrogation of deity to themselves. You know, in the temple of God, they say, I am God, right? Now, they will tear off the false prophet's mask, if you will, and expose him as the prime minister of Satan. That's what they're going to do. See? You know, they're not afraid of anything. You know, afraid of anything. They will warn the Jews to have nothing to do with the identifying mark that the Antichrist will be given to those who accept his claims. They will admonish the people of Israel by all means to give no worship to the beast under penalty of damnation. They will stand warning to the people of the Jews, those who will listen to them. There is no doubt, these words of the two prophets we gain national and international attention. Who are these people who are defying the data class like this? And, you know, excitement will run high and spread throughout the country as the people hear these witnesses fearlessly denouncing the Antichrist, his regime, and not sparing them whatsoever. Like that, you know. Obviously, of course, the news will soon reach the ears of the false prophet when these things are happening. And we ask the question, who are these that dare to insult him? Tonight we're talking about the ministry of the two witnesses. Last time we talked about identify them as Elijah and Moses. We're now dipping down and see what their ministry look like. The first prophet in his anger, we know no bounds. Yeah, you know. And in a fit of fury, he will dispatch his personal guard to pick up these audacious, many bold preachers and bring them into his presence, he thought, he will think. He will give them a tongue lashing for their impudence, meaning their rudeness to him, before he orders their execution. He cannot execute them, right? Didn't know what is going to happen. The same will evoke that of Elijah in the days of old, who sent a word of denunciation to the wicked king I talked to you about, Ahaziah, for consulting Beelzebub, the god of the Ekron. Of course, Ahaziah, upon receiving the message, what did he do? He sent a band of 50 men to arrest Elijah and bring the prophet before him. Of course, Elijah answered them, the first band, in 1 Kings 1:10, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And of course, it happened. You know, he backed up everything he said, even that back there. And there came fire, truly enough, in those days, when he came the first time, and consumed those. That happened two times, right? The third time, the third band now, they quickly plead for mercy. We know that story, right? And then their life was spared, you know. So it's similar thing. The Bible said they have power. These two powers will call fire down from heaven. All those power, they're going to use it. Otherwise, the Bible said they have this power to do it, right? They're going to use all those power. So the same thing will happen again. Really, between the lines, you know. They will call fire down from heaven again. Like Elijah did the first time. So a similar thing will apparently occur in the ministry of the two witnesses. Elijah and Moses will be busy addressing the people when officers come to put them under arrest. You know how they do here? Say police and so on, to come and arrest them. Just looking between the lines, you know what will happen in our day and comparing with the Bible. But instead of being able to carry out their mission, fire will come forth from the witnesses and will destroy the messengers. It will happen again. Bible says they have power. If anyone will hurt them, they have power. They will use it. See? Now the Bible says they have the power. So what he did before, he will do it again. The first prophet sends more special agents. Like the first time he came, the result will be the same. They will consume with fire. See? Otherwise, God won't say they can do that time if they won't use it. The news of their successful defiance of the first prophet will spread like wildfire, not only over the nation of Israel, but all over the world, you know. These two preachers, clad in strange apparel, are exposing the Antichrist as a counterfeit Messiah, denouncing his activities as being Satan-inspired. One result of their bold ministry will be that the people of God will be greatly encouraged. You see, when you see this thing happening, God will be encouraged. You know, the people of God are seeing here, those who are left here, in the tribulation and so on, reading going to the false root rapture, and they will rally to stand against the false prophet. They will refuse to take his mark because of the boldness of the two witnesses at the risk of their own life. Anyway, many will see their testimony with their blood. Pray therefore that I can't worry to escape all these things. That's the warning the Lord has given. He gave a warning in the gospel. Then the book of Revelation, he called John aside to give all these apocalyptic events and expand it to us. Now we now understand what he meant. Pray that we can't take the word. Always, just one time, to escape all these things. You now begin to expand those things to us in the book of Revelation, you know. So, and they will refuse to take the mark, they will refuse to take his mark. Those who believe the witness, they won't take the mark at the risk of their own lives. This open defiance of his authority will infuriate the Antichrist and the false prophet too, beyond words. Yet, at the moment, he will find himself helpless to meet this open opposition, which is so galling to his pride. You know, it's so annoying to him. These two people will stand in with, he has power to call that fire from heaven too. I'll come to that one later, you know. So if it's so infuriated by these two preachers preaching there. So there will be another development while this is going on. You know what? The witnesses will announce that, you know what? The heavens will give no rain. In the midst of, they will announce that. And the people of the false prophet will mock that statement. And they will mock it at first. But as the weeks and the months go by, behold, there is no rain, the situation will begin to look serious. Of course, no rain, no harvest, no food. See? What's going to happen? The stores and supplies will be rapidly exhausted. The rider of the black horse of the apocalypse will be on his way. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. Let me read that one to you. See? Revelation 6, 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat
for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hast not the oil and the wine. In the book of Revelation, we talk about this a lot. So, what's it saying here? Prices, this means prices indicate great scarcity. See, no rain, 3.5 years, nothing. So, scarcity, great scarcity upon the land, as well as you know. The witness is, while this is going on, we announce other judgments. See, and when one of them lift up his rod, like Moses did in Egypt, plagues come upon the land. See, because of the drought, water becomes so scarce, because of the drought, right? As if that is not enough, at the words of the witnesses, the limited water supply will turn into blood. Pray always that, like I said, wanted to escape all this. The Lord began to expand that statement in the book of Revelation, what is written in the Gospels, you know. So the little amount of water left, they will turn into blood in those days and something like that, you know. So although many will be hardened in their sin, and we reject the testimony of the witnesses, there will be those who will listen intently. That be a remnant. Their ministry will not be just a few days, it's 3.5 years. They will prophesy in 1260, the Bible says, you know, despite the threatening and ravings of the false prophet, they not only will prove invulnerable to his attacks, but when any of his messengers attempt to interfere with them, like I said before, they will meet their doom. That's the way they are sent, you know. Just like Elijah of old. All this will be exceedingly galling to the false prophet. His position will be that of Haman, the death of Esther. Haman was in a high position. Inasmuch as Mordecai was alive, he was infuriated, right? He was unstable. He couldn't just stand Mordecai, you know. He couldn't just sit. That's how the twins will be to the false prophet and the Antichrist in those days. See? Steadily and surely, an awakening will come to Israel in the midst of this thing. Many will reject the arrogant and blasphemous claims of the false Messiah. It will be the beginning of the greatest visitation in history to Israel, even despite all the situation. Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, foretold this mighty move of God. That is Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the heart with a curse. As Elijah called the nation back to God in his former ministry on earth, so this time, with the help of Moses, he will awaken the nation to the God of Israel and his son Jesus Christ. Many other passages of scripture talk about this great move of God. Let me talk about two or three of them. The ministry of the two witnesses, right? So Isaiah 66:8, paraphrasing this one, says, he declared that the nation shall be born in a day that are travailed during the reign of the beast and the false prophet will cause her to emerge as a new nation, chastened and purified. That's just a paraphrase. I didn't put the whole scripture there. Jeremiah himself speak, another prophet, of this hour of travail. He calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30:6. Ask ye now and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Just what the Lord said, the time of tribulation, like no other time in the history of the world, right? You know, it is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Not only Jeremiah said it, even in the book of Zechariah, you know, like last time we talked about this thing, in the 4th chapter, he mentioned the two witnesses, right? The two olive trees, right? I won't go there tonight. So, he talked about them, chapter 4. But he has much to say about this time too. And he foresaw Israel's recognition of the one they have pierced, and a deep repentance and mourning in Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour upon the house of David, talking of a great move when Israel is turned back to the Messiah. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Where the book of Zechariah goes forward and noted the rise of a false shepherd at the end of time, a false prophet. Talk about it in Zechariah 11:15. He says, and the Lord said unto me, take upon thee yet the instrument of a foolish shepherd. See that? For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor he that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd, he said, that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm, and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dry up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. So, in a vision, Zechariah even foresaw the terror of Armageddon. See, he did. In which 2/3 of the inhabitants of Jerusalem perish. Yet, 1/3 will God bring through the fire. Can you not see why? You call it the time of Jacob's trouble, by Jeremiah, So, 1/3 God will break by fire and purge them. That is Zechariah 13:8. Let me read that. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Lord, 2/3 therein shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left therein. And I will bring 1/3 part through the fire, and we refine them as silver is refined, and we try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. What is coming? A mighty move. The land of Israel. That time, the prophet follows through. This same prophet, Zechariah, through in his vision, as he seeks, he sees the ravaging of Jerusalem. And finally, the appearance of the Lord of glory. I won't go to read all those scriptures. He sees the smiting of the armies of the beast and those of Rosh, the king of the north. He will see those things and with a consuming plague. There he sees the Lord's feet standing on the Mount of Olives, the very place where the Lord ascended to heaven. Amen. Come back again. When he come back, I will call it the 3rd time, really, Second time is when we go up in the rapture, see? So he won't touch the ground. Bible says, the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Not going to touch the ground in the rapture. Then shall we always be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the other time that's talking about now, we're going to come back with him actually, So we see that one right there. We always have to make that one plain, because it's obscure to many Christians. Now, they think that the rapture is when the world see the Lord Jesus Christ. No, not really. That's coming. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh in the clouds, and all eyes shall see. That's a different time, right? Yes. Praise the Lord. So the two witnesses thus fulfill their role in the dramatic events of the end time, turning the hearts of the people back to God with all this move of God. They stay the judgment so that the earth will not be destroyed with a curse, as Malachi said it will be. So let's finish it up right quickly now. Now they were slain, right? When the God of Elijah answered by fire on Mount Carmel, what happened? Israel was brought back from Baal worship to the worship of Jehovah. Now Elijah will again have power to call down fire on his enemies. Revelation 11:5. But the test will not be altogether decisive as the first time. Why? Because the Antichrist too has power to call down fire from heaven. See? We are told. So, and what's his own way of doing things though? Like the magicians. His own is like lying wonders, right? That the magicians who were able to imitate some of the miracles of Moses, so the false prophet will be able to duplicate the miracle of the fire. Revelation 13:13 says, tell us so. It says, and he does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. See? Just like the Jambres in Egypt with Moses. So they are going to try to bring fire down from heaven to like Elijah did and so on. Nevertheless, why many will be deluded by these lying wonders of the false prophet, the remnant of Israel will be warned, by the message of the two witnesses and will reject his claims, no matter what miracle he does, lying wonders and so on. That's why in Romans 9:27, it comes in recruitment too. Though the number of the children of Israel be at the sand of sea, a remnant shall be saved. Amen. There will be a remnant. Praise the Lord. You know. At length, though, having completed their ministry, God will permit the two witnesses to be slain on the street of Jerusalem. This will bring great relief and joy to the peace worshippers at first, you know. For apparently, the testimony of the witnesses had caught them to their heart. So they will be rejoicing. The Bible tells us and so on that, you know, when they see them slain. And indeed, these two prophets, as we read in the Bible, would have tormented them that dwell on the earth. Revelation 11:10. Yet the time will come for the conclusion of their testimony. Until that time, nobody can do anything to them until that time. The beast from the bottomless pit will now join his confederate, the false prophet, who has worked hand in glove with him all the time, and together they will overpower the two witnesses, because God allowed it, right? And kill them. In his unquenchable hatred for the two witnesses, he will not permit them to be buried, according to the scriptures. The Antichrist will decree that the dead body should lie on the streets of Jerusalem unburied to putrefy. A supreme gesture of contempt, hatred for this, even when they are dead, you know. You will see, you know, hatred and something like that. The Bible in declaring, and that's one thing in the Bible. The Bible declaring that the body will be sealed over the wall, that's an uttermost accuracy for telling that there will be a worldwide television. He prophesied of a worldwide television 2,000 years ahead. Praise God. That's the Bible right there. How would they see? Like I said the other day here, we're just looking at Jerusalem. The great virtual tour. I came to that prophecy. I said that's how they're going to see them when they are slain and things like that, you know. So the Bible was ahead of its time, 2,000 years ahead. It showed there'd be a worldwide television, you know. That's what he's saying right there, you know. With the evidence that death has occurred to the two witnesses, some may perhaps bemoan the event and say, well, alas, it looks as if the Antichrist was even right after all, you know. His power is now greater than the power of the two witnesses. We had hope that the Messiah that they preach was he that will redeem Israel. Remember on the way to Emmaus, the two disciples, Cleopas and his friend, you know, they were just talking of the events of the day of the resurrection, and the Lord was falling, they didn't even know the Lord was and so on. They were talking then, they're like, what question are you having among yourself that you are sad like this? Oh, are you a stranger in the region that you know what is happening? That's what is happening. They now told the Lord, among other things, how they crucified the Lord. And some of us went to the sepulchre this morning and they saw an angel that said, I see from the dead. And he see that we hold, we redeem Israel, you know? Now they were saying, right? But now it's dead, you know? So anyway, the Lord rebuked them there. So, of course, they were doing this and so on. Just like even Lazarus, when he was dead, the Jews were mocking the Lord. Can this man who opened the eyes of the blind, could he not call that this man should not die? See, they were mocking. The same thing will happen, you see, when these people were saying, the same kind of mockery. I'll give you two examples right now. So, and that's, see what the Bible will do and so on, you know. So anyway, so the beast and its followers, now we celebrate. You know, people at Christmas time, right? People give gifts now. This one will celebrate anti-Christmas. Anti-Christmas giving themselves gifts, you know. Not Christmas gifts now, but anti-Christmas gifts, right? You know, anti-Christmas gifts. By sending gifts one to another, that's in Revelation 11:10. In the minds of the beast worshippers, the two witnesses will be held responsible for what has happened. Like Ahab now, he told Elijah, that troubler of Israel, you know. I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have troubled Israel, right? Anyway, so we see. But the final act of the drama is about to take place right now. Why the godless multitudes rejoice and abandon themselves in an orgy of sensual delight. What will come of a startling event that will quickly put an end to their merriment very quickly. Its effect will be as was the handwriting on the wall in Belshazzar's palace. Praise the Lord. It's be like that, you know. So while they were still making merry, and even drinking in the vessels of the law that Nebuchadnezzar brought to Babylon, then the handwriting appeared on the wall, you know. And you know what happened right there? That marked the end, you know, of that empire in India. The Medes and the Persians were at the door, you know, as they take over the land, the empire and things like that, you know. So anyway, so, you know, it'd be like that too, you know. The body of the two witnesses now will no longer be lying in the street anymore. While a multitude of onlookers stand viewing the bodies, they will suddenly come up to life, you know, and the voice will be heard saying, come up here. Let's read that one as I finish up here. Revelation 11:11. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. Just like the rapture we had, right? The Lord descended in the rapture, and the dead in Christ rise forth. We were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, isn't it? You know, the same call that was made, another rapture, scripture is Revelation 4:1. And there was another another mystery in heaven, something like that, I don't know, in heaven. And there is a voice, come up here, you know. So Revelation 4:1 is there. So anyway, so they went up the same way, the same Lord, right? So the event cannot be denied at all. And the false prophets, they can't do anything about it. It will send a shock wave of apprehension throughout the kingdom of the beast. From that moment, the fortunes of the Antichrist rapidly wane, quickly, raging with fury and hatred. He will be ready to destroy the earth. All these Antichrists, all these Russian people and so on. That's why they don't have to intervene. They come, they can't do anything. They want to destroy the earth. All these Chinese people and so on. Let's just destroy the world. Can't do anything about it. But the Bible says, are we shorting the time, amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord for the elect. Are we shorting? Let that shall not flesh be saved, you know. So praise the Lord. So, that's the time we are living in. So, anyway, in the midst of this wrath, news will come. Another body will come to the Antichrist. That, look, mighty Rush, the king of the north, is on his way now. Coming down to Palestine. Why this is happening, you know? What is he coming to do? Coming to challenge the Antichrist system of his claim over Palestine and Jerusalem. He himself has eyes in it. Don't forget that at the beginning of Israel becoming a nation, Russia was one of the, in fact, is in forefront in the United Nations, arguing the case for Israel to have its own land in Palestine. They were thinking that if Israel became independent, it becomes one of their satellites. It never happened. Ever since that time, Russia has been in the forefront or involved with every war Israel has set out for, you know. So now, as Antichrist came, they make a part, right? But now he turned against the Antichrist, and something that, you know. He will now refute the Antichrist claim over Palestine and coming from the north, you know. The other day we put forth a Russian stamp. I mean, with the hosts of Russia, horses coming back from the north, coming to Palestine, you know. That is in 1939, one kopeck Russian stamp anyway. So even the artist, I don't know how they got to know, maybe they read the Bible or something like that. They put an art there in the early 30s. So with this happening now, they hear the king of the north is coming down. What will they do now? So what they will do, the Antichrist and the false prophet will now prepare to meet the challenge, you know. But even as they make ready, a great earthquake will shake Jerusalem. Why this is happening? Killing 7,000 people. Revelation 11:13 says so, you know. That's even interesting. 7,000 again. Elijah and 7,000. When he was at the first time, oh Lord, they have killed all the prophets. I only remain. The Lord said, Elijah, you are wrong. I have 7,000 who have never bowed their knee to Baal. Amen. Now that was coming. His second coming again has to do with 7,000. And as he was going to heaven, a great earthquake destroyed 7,000 of the worshippers of the beast. Praise the Lord. God, your precision there, I don't know. 7,000, you know. So finish up here. So the hypnotic spell of the Antichrist and the false prophet will be forever broken from this time on. They will have only few more days to run out their wicked and cursed careers in the service of the devil. What happened? The seventh angel will prepare to stand. And I read that scripture. I will pray from there tonight. And it says in Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The Antichrist, they are gone forever. The Gentile kingdoms are finished, you know. And the nations were angry, and the wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servant the prophets. Thank God, not only the prophets, right? And even to the saints too, amen. The I say reward for you and I, praise God. As we endure to the end, you know. And then that fear thy name, small and great, and should they destroy them, we destroy the heart. Praise the Lord. So I just talked about that tonight. We have another thing, how God will protect Israel next time, you know, and then begin to wrap up this series. But tonight, to God's elect, as I was praying the afternoon on this thing, I had two words for the Holy Ghost. He said, soberness and vigilance. And behold, look at the scripture. 1 Timothy 3:2 says, we're not all bishops, but this thing talk to us also, you know, of many things. A bishop must be vigilant, sober. See? So I had those words, vigilance and then soberness. So I can read the whole verse in 1 Timothy 3:2. We're not all bishops, but we can use that too. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Then in 1 Peter 5:8, we are commanded, be sober. Amen. This is the hour. If there's any time for the church to be sober, it is this hour. And I think tonight, somebody has mentioned this scripture tonight. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a running lion, walketh about, seeking whom he might devour. It is time for soberness, brethren. I'll just spend your head those two words. See, soberness and vigilance. And finally, the last scripture tonight, Titus 2:11, on the same subject about being sober. For the grace, this is our portion now. All we are saying are all the post-rapture events. Now, let us wrap this night up. Nobody needs to be afraid of any of these things, because by God's grace, will be gone. The Lord will have come. But according to what we know from the scripture, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. That was soberness, and then I hear that when I was praying. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What are these now? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Praise the Lord. We are a peculiar people. Praise God. We are the royal priesthood. Praise God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8 tells us all these things. Praise the Lord Jesus. So we start to lift up our heads, sir. Our nation dread nigh. Not to put down our heads like a bulrush. No. Arise. The light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. Out of your divine love, the good pleasure of your good will, have you been revealing all these things to us? The same thing why you saved us, according to the good pleasure of your good, you save us. Not according to our own work, but according to your mercy, Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for putting us to live in this age. Even the age that even prophets and kings were asking and desiring to live in. Help us to know, never to ignore, the day of our visitation, the greatest time in the history of the world. Lord, we thank you. The greatest event since we left will be happening anytime from today, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ for the bride. So therefore, let us rejoice and be glad that, in the name of the Lord Jesus, because the Bible says, the bridegroom and so forth is coming and so on, and his bride has made herself ready. That readiness is our holy ambition. Help every one of us, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for, bless are they that know the joyful sound. What greater joyful sound can there be that the coming of the Lord is nigh? It's even at the door. The coming of the Lord draws nigh in the book of James. Lord, we thank you for making us ready for this hour. Help us, Lord. Account us worthy to escape all these things, Lord, and to stand blameless before you. We believe your word that will present us blameless unto yourself, unrebukable in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, without any blemish, without any wrinkle, without any spot or any such things, Lord. So to you be glory, majesty, dominion, and honor. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, the Lord Brother Charles is going to take the prayer things tonight.